everybody real reverent. Now, listen. I know you got to go to work in the morning. Your job's important. I know that. Your children are waiting for you. The babysitter says you should leave at 9:30. But that's just what. What's more important to know whether this is the truth or not? What's more important in your soul? Now, if this Bible is true, that God does, that's the most important thing that I've seen. And it's sure the sound system, that's what was making that noise. Now remember, let everybody rest sure. I hope I haven't impressed you to make you think that I'm some kind of a cult or something, that I would be that person in the Lord Jesus. You don't do that, do you? It's surely no. I am his servant. I am a sinner that's been saved by grace. But in this, the hour has come to where he's given a gift. I just had an examination just recently. When a bunch of medical doctors take me under advisement to put me on a test for a weight test. And you know what? They come out and told me that I never seen such in my life. He said, you know, that a person, when your five senses that the body's controlled in, said, now, that's your first conscience. You live in it. But when your five senses become inactive, then you have a subconscious. And that's way off from you. You have to be dead to this feelings or anything here. You go back off here to this subconscious and you dream. Then there's some part of you that goes somewhere, and you, when you wake up back into this conscious again, you're shook back to here, you remember what you dreamed. How many of you ever had a dream? Sure, years ago, all of you. Well, there's some part of you somewhere, of course, you still remember it in your mind. Is that right? So that was your subconscious. He said, that's the order. But said, Reverend Branham, said that tens of thousands times thousands of people ever examined, we never found a character like you. I said, am I crazy? He said, I don't think people come all over the world and talk to a crazy man. And I said, well, am I? I know I'm nervous. He said, no more than any other minister or doctor, anybody that deals with the public. I said, what's the strength? He said, you know what? Your two consciences lay right straight together. He said, you can dream a dream with your eyes open. See, he didn't know what he was, what about it. I said, is that right? He said, yes. Yeah. You wouldn't have to go to sleep to dream a dream. I said, doctor, did you ever read about a vision? You know what a vision is? He said, is that a Bible term, Mr. Branham? I said, yes. He said, well, I don't learn about the Bible. He said, I wouldn't know what you're talking about. I said, did you ever read the Bible? He said, yeah. Read back the Bible about the old prophets of the old. Oh, he said, that what they foresaw things? Yes. I said, that happens to me, sir. He said, that, I'm glad you, that settled it. So that's it, see? He said, you know what? You are to go in and let us examine this. This would be a great scientific research. I said, wait a minute, doctor. Did you ever have a dream? He said, yes. I said, then dream me a dream. Tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. You couldn't do it if you had to. See, everyone who lets you have that dream has to do it. Neither can I see a vision. It's got to be him that lets vision. I can't see him, but he tells me. I don't know what to say, so he tells me to say. But it's a gift, you see, that I was born with that. The first thing I ever remember in my life was seeing a vision. And not one time has it ever been wrong. See, actually, you see people, we do have a lot of impersonation. That's exactly right. But we always have that. Sure. I read a story of Martin Luther. Do you, Luther? The history of Martin Luther said it wasn't so strange that Martin Luther could protest the Catholic Church and get by with it. But he could hold his head above all the fanaticism that barred his revival. And still stay clear with the Scripture. That's it. Just, that don't have anything to do with them. You're responsible before God. See? It's just a gift. See, you drop yourself over here, and then the Lord speaks. I hear it. Here, is this a woman? Now here, this part of the room, everybody will be a real reverence. Maybe a newcomer. Now here is a young woman. I have never seen her in my life. She's a stranger to me, I don't know. But here we meet at night, St. John 11. I met there tonight, see? When St. John 4, I mean, where Jesus met the woman at the well. I see her now. She's probably much younger than me. And he told her where her trouble was. And by that she said, now, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, see, a prophet is one who the word of God has come to. The prophecy for that day, the word to be fulfilled in that day, comes to that man, and he is that living word for that day. She said, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, we're waiting for that prophet. If you run that reference back, it refers you right back to that prophet. That we know when Messiah comes. That's what he'll do. He'll tell us those things. He said, I'm Jesus speaking. And he went and said, come see a man that told me the things I've done. Is this the Messiah? And all the people believed it. Now, he promised that the works that he did, the believers would also, and now in this last day, that vindicated his dear coming by it, when he revealed himself in the same way as he did his son. Have you listened to the message this week? You believe that to be the truth. We being strangers to one another. That's right, isn't it? That's the story that people see. Raise your hand so the people see. I've never seen a woman in my life. I don't know more about her than nothing. See? She's just a young woman, much younger than I. Born years apart, miles apart, and here we meet the first time. Here we both standing here, people all around, lights, everything else. We're standing here in the presence of God. And I'm talking to you to find out first if that anointing will come upon me. And if it does, then I'll be able to do it. Without that, I cannot do it. I don't think I do. Just pray and lay hands on you. Like your pastor would or whoever it would be and go on. See, it's a gift. I got myself as far as no relax to it. But then I can't make it come. It has to come. It has to come itself. Just be reverent. It is here. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God. I set quiet. If anything happens, I'll be able to control it. If you just don't jump up and start carrying on. Set still. Epilepsy may sometimes hit the meeting and just swing out a dozen of them like that. How many seats does that happen in my meeting? Sure. Sure. But you just sit still. I'm responsible for that. But if you hear it, I'm not responsible for the punishment. Now, I have no more idea what the woman's here for. Now, she knows, though, that now, at this time, that something's going on. Because right between she and I, she just begins fading out. It's that light coming in. Now, the woman is really her main thing that she's here for. She's standing for somebody else. She's got somebody she's praying for. And that's a person that's real bad off in a nervous breakdown. It's a sister. That's right. That's how they can be. A nervous breakdown. Hello. So if the people say, I think yes, that's on. Never good. Now watch. She's a very fine person. Good spirit. Now just a moment. Now look on me. And that's what Peter John said. He gave him a look on me. There seems to be something else in your heart. Yes? You suffer yourself. But some sort of a dent in cell right here. Yeah, that's right. You got something else in your heart that you want to know about. And that's that brother. He's in the hospital here. Yeah. You want me to tell you how he's going to be in there? He's in an automobile accident. That's right. Now, do you believe you're going to see what you asked for? And go on your road, it's all over. Now, you can believe all things are possible. How do you do that? Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and saying, yes, you did forever? And if he will reveal to you what your trouble is, do you believe that he could do that? All right. Now, may he grant one thing that you're suffering, yes, First, you've had some surgery, and you've had a breast removed, amputated, then you put your breast, your other breast, and that's what your trouble is. You're not from here. You're from around a river or something. You're from Louisville, Kentucky. And your name is Mrs. Lund. God bless you. That's right. You have been in the tabernacle. I didn't recognize you, but that's exactly like all your old believing now. God bless you. All right. Come now. Do you believe with all your heart, sir? Do you believe me to be his church? Do you believe that as you, when you come, you're coming just like Simon Peter did that time? See, you're not coming to me. You're coming to him. And I'm just his representative. See, we are the branch that he's the vine. Now, if the Lord Jesus, us being total strangers to one another, I suppose we are, and if we be total strangers and the Lord Jesus can reveal to me something that, like he did to Simon Peter, some of the rest of them when they come, where it makes you believe with all your heart, you believe it? All right, sir. Now, you look on me just a moment. Now, your trouble, I see you, it's something about the stomach. It's a tumor in the stomach. That's right, a tumor in your stomach. Say, by the way, you are a minister, too. That's right. You believe God can tell me who you are? You believe God knows you?
I do, with all
your heart, Reverend Brown, go on, be well, see next time.
Amen.
Do believe God can heal your arthritis and make you well, go believe Him and say, thank you, Lord. Come, ladies. You suffer with a nervous trouble. Do you believe that God can make you well of that? Or just go say, praise the Lord. See, a little wheel turning way down here used to turn up here. You used to be a happy little person when you were young. Full of joy and jolly, and all at once something happened. Now just go up there and believe that again and start happy, rejoicing. Jesus Christ will break you to it. With all your heart. All right, you believe you're crippling up too. Do you believe that God can heal it and make you well? All right, just go say, thank you, Lord Jesus, and with all your heart. You believe God can heal that asthma and make you well, son? Go on your road rejoicing, being healthy and happy. Also, weakness, prostrate, and arthritis. You believe that God can make that well and heal you? Do you believe it with all your heart? Go on your road rejoicing and say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Just a moment now. Just one moment. Something happened. Different person from this. Just believe now. All your heart. This lady sitting right here, suffering with a back trouble, you believe that Jesus Christ make you well with all your heart? She can have what she asked for. See?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus heal you and make you well. If you can believe it, all things are possible to them that believe. You believe that with all your heart? What do you think about it? Sitting there suffering that hurting, you believe that God will heal you that hurting and make you well? Yes, you believe He will? Or you can have what you asked for. Lord bless you. See, He's out there, His name is here. Why don't you just tear us to pieces on it? You think God will heal that diabetic and make you get well and you go home, the blood, the condition will be, go to Calvary for a blood transfusion, it'll all be over. Go believe it with all your heart. Come on now, just believe with all your heart that God will make you well. Come here. We've got the most dangerous disease there is in the world. That's heart trouble. But Jesus lives in the heart. Do you believe He'll heal you in that heart? All right, go on your road then. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and make you well. Go eat your supper. Jesus Christ, He's getting that stomach trouble. Do you believe? Do you believe if I don't say a word and lay hands on you, you get well anyhow? Lord, say. Believe with all your heart. Do you believe if I lay hands on you, you'll get well too? Come. In the name of Jesus Christ, may she be healed. Come. Now, you know I know what's wrong with you. But if I don't even tell you, you believe you won't have to have that tumor taken out and it'll be all right in now?
No,
all right, go right ahead and thank God. You'll get well and be all right. If you just believe that, you'll take it out and you won't have to have it. If you just believe with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Now, do you believe God heals cancer and makes people with cancer well? All right, sir, go on your road and say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to be well and you'll be all right. Now, Jesus has come and calls for you. You believe that? You believe it's sitting there, ladies, and I hit a step with that sign of trouble, you believe God will make you well?
All right.
See, just looking at you, just look around, what are you thinking? That the lady sitting there shook her head, God, she didn't know what to think about it. If you believe, your arthritis believe too. All right. You believe with all your heart? This elderly man sitting over here, Mocha showed me over in that way. Do you believe that Jesus Christ will heal your eyes that's going blind? You can have what you ask for if you ask it. The Master has come and is calling on you. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Then just raise up on your feet and accept Him and say, I believe you, Lord Jesus, right now. I raise up my hands and I believe that you now heal me. Lord Jesus, this audience.
Yes. I remember here not long ago, I was down a little place called Acton, Kentucky. Way back in the mountains, never been there before. A fellow named Mr. Wood and he was a Jehovah Witness, and he was at one of the meetings, and the Holy Spirit spoke. He had a boy with a crippled leg drawn up under him like that. I was standing on the platform and preaching, and I looked, and I said, I see a man sitting way in the back of the building, three times as long as this, he's sure a big tent. And I said, and we was up around, up on the Great Lakes, and this man, I said, he's got a boy. The man comes from Kentucky, way down in Kentucky. He's a contractor. His name is Banks Wood. He's got a boy that's got polio. His legs brought up under him. I said, thus saith the Lord, he healed.
Amen.
So the woman stood there. Now, there's just many people standing right here this morning. My people that know David Wood. How many know David Wood's name? Right then, he raised up and his leg perfectly normal. That settled a Jehovah Witness for me. And besides that, Bonham's same visions have led his whole people. His brother tried to make fun of him and just tear him apart and said, what are you doing, Father, some kind of a fanatic like that, some of these modern-day cults? A reader in the Jehovah Witness. He said, well, the man's out there cutting grass, and I had on a big old straw hat and out in the field mowing. And I come in, sit down. He said, Brother Banks said, this is my brother, Lyle. And I said, how do you do, Mr. Wood? He said, how do you do? Oh, real arrogant. I sat there a little bit, and the Lord gave a vision. I said, Mr. Wood, I said, I suppose you don't believe this. He said, I certainly don't. And he said, there's no such a thing as things like that. But it's just a bunch of makeup that you got my brother all mixed up in. I said, you know, the Bible said one word against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven. I said, what? And Jesus is doing the same thing. He had never seen it yet. So he said, I don't believe in no such. I said, all right. If you would believe in such, you'd go back to your wife that you've left. He looked around at me. He looked over. Now, he didn't know what I was catching his thoughts. How strange people come around, see that on the platform, and think that you don't know just exactly how you reveal things without around. But you can't say it. Jesus knows Judas is with him all the time, but just let alone because he's the purpose of it, see. And this, so he sat there and he said, look around to Banks as if Banks told him that's his brother. I said, you got two children, two little blonde-headed boys. You look back to Banks again. I said, what do you think that Banks told me that? I said, well, how about this? Night before last, you're running with a woman that's got auburn hair, and you was in a room, and in this room, there's somebody knocked on the door, and you sent her to the door because you're afraid it's a good thing you got your head blown off. Another one of her lovers is standing at a pistol in his hand. He said, God be merciful to me. God knows I. Now he's a sweet, staunch Christian. His father came the same way his sisters and all of them. We were down in Kentucky, squirrel money, between one of my meetings. I had 2 weeks. Got real dry. How many of you ever hunted squirrels? Oh, my brother. There's nothing like it. So, give me a 22 rifle in the middle of August, and I'm at home. And how the Lord speaks out there, and no things, and so forth. Notice, then we got real dry up on the ridges where we're at. He said, I know an old man's an infidel, said he's got 500 acres of just hills like this, and down the valleys, hollers, we call them there, that you can walk because it's wet. He said, we might get through some squirrels. He said, but he's a rough old fella. I said, well, let's go down and see him. So about a couple months before that, how we know the place is there, I had a little meeting on the Methodist campground at Acton, Kentucky. And that night, all the Holy Spirit was making discernment. There's a woman sitting way back in the back of the ground. And they called her name and said, you got a sister that's dying with cancer of the stomach. She just came to Louisville, and they opened her up. The cancer was wrapped so around her that they couldn't operate. And said, this is so-and-so. She raised up and started crying. I said, when you left home tonight on a marble top dresser, you've taken a little handkerchief, and you put it in your purse. It's got a little blue figure in the corner. You say, how, that sounds great. Well, how about Jesus telling where that fish had the coin? How about the prophet telling the man that the mules had returned back? See, you just, the devil has an impersonation, yes. But you never hear one man preaching the gospel and getting souls saved. You ought to know better. So then we find out, told her that, to take that handkerchief and lay it upon your sister, for thus saith the law, she'll live. Well, I don't know why you have an old brother, Ben, I forget what his last name, but Brian, that's Ben Brian. Oh my dear, you'll always know him if you ever seen one. If he'd been here, he'd been screaming so, and hands and feet in the air like that, screaming. So one time, then he went with this woman to put it on her handkerchief and put the handkerchief up on her up there, and about 2 years later, when I was squirrel hunting, he said, let's go down into that. Yeah, I didn't know it was that same country, it was about 20 miles from where we were. So we went down there and draw it back over the hills and down the hollers and up through a broom face patch and over this way. So we come to a big old house, and there's the two old men sitting on an apple tree, their old slouch hats pulled down. He said, that's him, and boy, he's a rough one. He said, he's a trouble in infidel. So we stopped, and I said, you better go talk to him, man. You know, I'm a preacher. He wouldn't let us hunt at all. So he said, walked up there and stopped. He's standing there, a big chew tobacco in his mouth that run all down through his beard, standing there. So he got around and said, hello, come in. So he got up there and he said, my name is Woods. He said, I'm Banks Woods. He said, me and my friends been hunting over here. He said, for a few days up here around Acton. He said, and said, I, I, or, so dry. I said, we can't get into the woods. The squirrels are so... I said, I know your place is posted, but I thought maybe I'd come ask you. You'd let me hunt. So what woods are you? He said, I'm Jim Woods' boy. That's the Jehovah reader. He said, old Jim Woods is one of the most honest men there. They lived in Indiana. Man. I said, most honest man that there ever was in this country. That I can certainly trust you to not kill one of my cows or start a fire. He said, just help yourself. They go ahead and hunt it. They got 500 acres here. Make yourself at home. All right. Said, thank you. He said, I guess it's all right for my pastor to come too. He said, you're a what? He said, my pastor. I'm not taking you home. He said, my pastor. He said, Woods, you don't mean to tell me you got so low down that you have to carry a preacher with you wherever you go. He said, I thought it was about time for me to get out, man. So I got out of the car, walked out, I said, how do you do? Looked at me and worshiped the back around you and spit down like that. He said, and you're a preacher, huh? I said, look, squirrel blood all over me and whiskers, and that's had a bath for 2 weeks, you know. And laying in the woods, sleeping, you know. And so I said, might not look like one, but I said, I am. And he said, well, he said, at least I can respect you looking like a human being. He said, you look more like a preacher. So I said, well, thank you, sir. He said, I'm kind of against you fellows. And I said, I understood from Mr. Woods you was. He said, you know, I'm an infidel, I'm supposed to be. And I said, yes, but I don't think that's anything to brag about, do you? And he said, well, he said, I don't know. He said, I think you fellows are barking up the wrong bush. Hey, you know what that means? A lying dog. See, the truth ain't up there, see? So he said, I think you all are barking up the wrong bush. There's nothing up there. And you all are just lying about it. I said, of course, that's your opinion. And he said, yes, I guess that's the way you think it. He said, look here, mister. He said, see that old chimney up there? That's the little house. I was born up there. My pappy built this house down here. He said, about 75 years ago. But I was raised right here, walked over these hills. I've looked everywhere, up in the skies, all around. I ain't seen no God, no angels, or nothing else. I said, well, that's true opinion. And he said, I never seen one of you, but I thought was lying. He said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, sister. I'm going to go hunting, or might as well really trim him down. So I thought, I'll just give it. Mom always said, you give a cow enough rope and hang it something. So I thought, just go ahead. I said, yes, sir, that's right. He said, I heard of one preacher one time that if I ever meet the guy, I'm going to talk to him. But he might have had something. We talked a little while ago, and I said, who was that? So there's a fellow, I said, what was his name? He's up here in Acton. I believe they called him, I forget what his name, but it's Graham. I looked over the woods and, Brother, what's that? He said, you know, that only Casmo lives up here on top of the hill. And said, we taken her to the doctor in Louisville and said she had cancer and they just sold her back up. Said the doctor gave him medicine to give her, keep her quiet till she died. And she was then just about time for her to be gone. Said she couldn't even raise in the bed. Said we had to pull a bed sheet out from under. She could put her on a bed then. Right from under. Said wife and I go up and clean up her bed every morning. And said, there's a preacher from way out yonder, somewhere in Indiana. Said he come down here and he had a meeting up there. And so that man stood there that night and told her sister, so-and-so, of a handkerchief she had in her pocket. Said, coming on. And said, they brought a bunch of them holy rollers over there. And said, I thought they had the Salvation Army up on top of the hill that night. That's old Ben crying out like that, you know. So he said, well, you know, she died. So that's your family. All, you know how it is back in the country. They just have one another. They love and live for one another. Too bad we don't do that around the big city. So they said, and he was going to die, and said, well, I thought, well, that's her. Said, well, it's late, we can't get her body out for morning. Said, I'll get my wagon, I'll go up there and get her and haul her out so we can take her over to Campbellsville, Kentucky, about 40 miles from there, to the undertaker. Said, the undertaker comes to Main Road, which is about 8 miles, 10 miles out. Said, he can pick her body up from there. Said, no need to go over there at night, they'll just be crying. Said, we'll just wait till daylight. Said, you know, the next morning when I went up there, that woman had cooked some fried apple pies and her husband set the table eating. And she was living on barley water. I thought, uh-oh. I said, oh, now wait a minute. I said, you don't believe that. Said, and you don't believe it? And I said, well, you was the one who said it. I thought, oh boy, you go preach to me now. He said, you don't realize. I said, man, do you mean to tell me such a thing as that could happen in all these scientific age where we have the best doctor? He said, if you don't believe it, I'll take that and prove it to you. Now, the infidel speaks to me about that. I said, well, you mean that? He said, yes. I said, well, what was it? He said, I want to, if I ever meet that man, I'm going to ask him what in the world it was that told him about that and how he knew that woman would be well. See? But I'm going to ask him about that. Mm-hmm. I said, well, that'd be a good thing. And I said, see, do you mind if I have one of them apples? And it was laying on the ground fall a year ago, second week in August, and the leaves had dropped off the tree and the apples were there. Nice apples. I picked it up and rubbed it on his little dirty pants and went to eat like that. He said, yeah, every step, the yellow jacket's eating them up. Who knew about a yellow jacket? So he said, the yellow jacket's eating them up and you have to sell. So I said, all right. So I went to eat. I said, boy, it's a fine apple. He said, oh, yes, I planted that tree there myself 50 years ago. I said, that's strange. I said, hey, you know, we're going to have an early fall. I said, you look there. I said, wonder why them leaves are dropping off that tree before we even have a cool night. August or August. Oh, he said, the life left it. Well, is that what does that? He said, yeah, I said, the tree in the island dropping off. I said, where'd the life go? He said, it went down into the root. I said, well, what did it do that for? See? He said, well, it's because if it don't go down in the root, he said, the winter will kill the tree. The germ of life is in the sap that's in the tree. And it goes down to the root. See, what a beautiful testimony there to see of death, burial, and resurrection. And I said, then, what happens then? Does it stay down there? I said, no. I said, it comes back the next spring and brings you another bunch of apples. Yeah, you sit here and eat them. Yeah. And then, they say you've never seen God. He said, well, that's just nature. I said, is that right? That's true. I said, I want to ask you something. It's just nature. Tell me what intelligence adorns that tree, that sap in the tree. It has no intelligence of its own. But what intelligence runs that sap down the root, take it down here and hide in the depths of the earth until all the troubles pass, and I'll bring you back up again. Tell me, the life that was in the leaf, just the body died. The leaf dropped off. The life itself went down, coming back with the news. I said, the life hid, went out in the ground. Jehovah, as I said, like that, oh, hide me in the grave. And so thy wrath thee past, he's seen the tribulation coming, of course. And notice he said, hide me. He said, oh, that's just nature. And I said, mister, I said, if I put a bucket of water out here on the post, and then every August, that water runs out the bottom of the post, and then the spring year will come back up in a bucket again. He said, oh, no, it don't have any life. I said, very hard. Now you got it. It's life. I said, see, that's God. He said, you know, I never thought of that. I said, tell me, what does that? He said, I don't know. I don't know what does it. I said, it's nature. I said, well, who controls nature? Is nature an intelligence? He said, well, I never had thought of it just like that. I said, I'll tell you, I'm going out here squirrel hunting. It's all right. I said, help yourself. I said, when I come back, you study real hard now. And when I come back, you tell me what intelligence that tells that life in that tree to go down in the root and come back next spring, and I'll tell you what the same thing that told me that woman was going to live up there that had the cancer. That told you. I said, yes, sir. He said, are you that preacher? I said, yes, sir. I'm Brother Daniel. And there under that tree that afternoon. But a simple little thing like that, I'll let him sit there. Amen. Here, running down his sheep. A year later, I went down and pulled my truck up in the yard and moved away. He was gone. He died. And when I come back, the lady was standing there to give me a ball of nuts for hunting on forested ground. He told me, honey, if I'm going to his shoe button, sitting here, he said that. So I come up and I said, I'm sorry. I said, I come here early this morning and parked the car here where you can sit. So that Indiana license on there? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, your husband. So my husband's been dead almost a year. She's sitting eating apples on the back porch off that same tree. And I said, well, he told me before he died. So I don't believe it. I said, I was sitting out there one day, and I come up and I was talking to him, and they said it was an infidel. She dropped that apple. I mean, sir, are you Brother Graham? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, forgive me. She said, forgive me. She said, he died shouting both hands up in the air. Amen. Knowing is that he'd come back, he'd come back again. See? A paradox. Set me some ice cream just before. Sit and eat some ice cream not long ago. An old druggist told me, he said, you know, Brother Barron, you drink in Paradox? And I said, yes. He said, I heard your message one time on a tape of Paradox. He said, many years ago during the Depression, that people on county on relief had to come get an order and said to get their medicine. And said, they had to stand in long lines. And said, one day, strange thing, he said, I was sitting back here reading the paper. My young boy said, he was up there and said, a little woman been standing in a line out there. She was to be mother, you know. She said, any time she had to get some medicine, the doctor prescribed it. She had to get the prescription filled. So he said, the boy, the mother, just couldn't stand up no longer. And he brought her up there and said, sir, I'm going to stand in line. I've got to take my wife home. He said, can I take her home? The doctor said, I had this medicine this afternoon, and she can't stand any longer. He said, can I get this prescription filled? I got the order here. I got to just get a note to say that I can do it. And said, I'll bring it back to you. And the young boy, of course, in down with depression, you know, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I can't do that. He said, we got orders not to do that. He said, I can't do that. And said, he just happened to turn around and listen to what it was to look up there, and that poor little woman, her mouth white and holding against the side of the wall like that, and her husband standing there just as nice as he could be. He said, wait a minute, son. But I went and got the prescription, filled it, brought it back. I said, Brother Bannon, when I went to hand it out, he said, I looked, and I put it in the hands of the Lord Jesus. So I rubbed my eyes, I looked again, said, he was the one who reached out and got that prescription. I said, you think I'm beside myself, Brother Bannon? I said, no. In so much as you have done unto these my little ones, you have done it unto me. A paradox. Sure it was. To fulfill the word. There's many big paradoxes we can talk about. But dear friends, as we close, I think it is. There's one great one coming. The rapture. Let's all be ready for that one there. Let's condition our souls now before God that when that time comes that we'll go when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. The morning breaks eternal bright and fair. And when our chosen ones are gathered to their home beyond the sky, when the roll is called up yonder, let's all be there.
Now, here's what let me show you. Look here. Just to show you, he's still here. The people that are picking me. I'm looking right at a person here that lost his hands and hand. But you're not here. A woman. She's putting me out of my hand. Now, that's not going to be there. That's right. Here's an old woman sitting down here at the end. She just told me this morning. They jumped short of it. She's got a great big tumor on the inside of her, very bad off. She'll believe she can be healed. She just told me her name is Miss Turner. You'll believe with all your heart now. Jesus Christ will make you well. You believe it? You believe it, God? Are you screaming? You don't have no prayer card, do you? You just come in today. Somebody tell me not to. You come out here from the state of Russia, Georgia. You believe now that God is your son, has got you. All right? Now, you know it's totally impossible to get know that. Of course, you just come into the water once at a time. That's right there, that's right. See? Now, the same Holy Spirit that's saying that is just pumping against the people down here.
Hallelujah.
See, he's identifying folks. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're making a rational mistake.
Amen.
I love you. Remember. You come to hear it. I appreciate that. Love is correct. If you're good, I'm going to speak to you and say, just say, should you want to do that, you'll go out and stay in. If you love him, love is correct, not patent. I just told you, remember, it's even your offering to make the patient this meeting and make it possible for me to do it. Do I love you? With all my heart. Sister, you might say, I've got something against you for doing the things you did. It isn't that I have anything against you, sister, it's my godly love for you. Someone said, if he was a little bit younger, he wouldn't make that. I thought this when I was 14 years old. The Bible says so. It's the same thing. Don't make that mistake. Don't you trust the speaking in tongues for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost speaks in tongues, don't you trust that? You know the thing that you do? Same thing in the Spirit, some kind of sensation. Christ is a person. Certainly. And He's the Word. And He's in there, He always makes His Word work just exactly the way it's supposed to. If you turn it down, how can it be Christ?
Made the promise. Not back in them days, they were vindicated. that the God that made the promise vindicated today. Say the same. Some of you think in your heart, pray to God for your sickness or your affliction, and see if God will reveal the secret of the heart. I challenge you to do it from one side to the other. How would I dare to do a thing like that if I wasn't standing exactly on what the Scripture said? I want this court to see that He's the same yesterday, He's the promise. And He promised that Jesus Christ would be revealed in the last days as the Son of Man. A man sitting here suffering with hemorrhoids. I never seen you in my life. If that's right, raise up your hand. You believe me to give witness of the Word of God? That's your wife sitting next to you. She's suffering also. Cyst on her head. That's right, raise up your hand. You believe God can tell me who you are? If He's still the Word knows the secret of the heart. You are a Mr. and Mrs. Hunt. That's right, raise up your hand. Why don't you believe it? Here. Here sits a man sitting right here. His head down, crying, praying for himself and also for his wife. She isn't here. She's not weeping this afternoon. She's suffering. You think God can tell me what her trouble is? And her not here? You believe it? You do. I'm a stranger to you. Is that right? Your wife has a female trouble. If that's right, raise up your hand high. So we see it. And your name is Mr. Smith. Do you believe that God will make her well? If that's right, wave your hand up down like this. I challenge you to believe that Jesus Christ is revealed in the form of Son of Man. And you will see the God's body stretching itself. There's a woman sitting there with me. She suffers with high blood pressure. You think that God can tell me who you are? They call you Daisy. If you, is that right? They lift your hand. Believe now with all your heart, Jesus Christ will make you as dear as God. You see, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe it?
Amen.
Here's a man sitting right back there looking at him. He's got a burden on his heart. It's for his son. Son has diabetes. You believe? That was your wife that started weeping right next to you there. She's got a burden on her heart. That's for her sister. Her sister has heart trouble, complications. You're Mr. and Mrs. Sickles. If that's right, raise your hand up and down like this. If I'm a total stranger to you, stand up on your feet. Stand up if I'm a stranger to you, don't know you. Why is it? You're all coming up the Word of God in the same thing. I want you to know that the Word of God is true. God told me that 33 years ago. I waited all this time, but it's fulfilled right here this afternoon. God keeps His Word. He's yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. Go and get your desire now. Your mind is the jury. The jury has to make up its mind. And the way you act from now on will pronounce or show to the people what your verdict is.
Yes.
Is he guilty or is he not guilty?
Amen.
Do you believe that he's not guilty? That he does keep his word? If us that have this, we're listening to old man impatient, Mr. Unbeliever, and Mr. Skeptic. But now, you believe that God keeps his word? Your mind is a jury. And the way you ask for your answer will prove to the people what your verdict is.
Yes.
You done? Let's bow our heads then. I've told you the honest truth. If we had time to stay here in the Scripture of the Bible, what will testify to the same thing? I've been honest. You know, sometimes I do the same thing. I've been honest. You know, sometimes to be honest, it's not an easy path. But as long as God stands there, it wasn't easy for Luther, Wesley, or none of the rest. It isn't easy for you or anybody else that takes a stand. But this afternoon, you've got to make your stand. He never said, He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you believe it, Then I don't care if it happens right here, if it happens next week, if it happens 20 years from today, if you absolutely believe it, it's got to happen.
Amen.
There's a doctor sitting present now, as I understand. I want to thank him. I was at a patient, a deceased patient, a while ago, or early this morning, in a hospital, who was bound to die, so they made. She's so eaten with cancer. This little woman said to me, he said, my surgeon has been attending your meeting, and he agrees with you. And not only that, but Brother Branham, I want you to know he's standing with you in prayer for me. If I need any medical attention, I want him to give it to me. A man that can trust God like that. Yes, they're in all walks of life and all professions. Let's remember, the verdict is yours now. Lord Jesus, I've just tried to explain the Word. You testify that it's the truth. You're a witness, as we could have called hundreds. And yet we haven't the time. Here also lays handkerchiefs laying here that's going to the sick and the afflicted. Right here where the Holy Spirit gives witness that Jesus is still alive. We know Him by His life. The life that He lived, the things that He did. We pray God now is laying hands upon these handkerchiefs that whosoever they touch, may they be healed. I offer my prayer with faith along with this other bunch of believers for these who are not able to be here. May they enjoy the greatness of God. They may be sick and can't come. Some poor old father sitting back there in a room pecking on a little white cane this afternoon waiting for this handkerchief to return. That baby laying there in the hospital burning up with a fever. And someone waiting to bring it the handkerchief. Let the power of Almighty God go with them. Anoint them as the same anointing has been upon the meeting this afternoon, and may they recover, Lord. We offer this prayer on their behalf because they wasn't present. But you're omnipresent. May you be there to confirm your word through Jesus Christ's name. Now let the Holy Spirit truly, not emotion, not some kind of just a halfway hope, but a genuine verdict may be passed for this, what I call this afternoon, the court. May each one of them give testimony the same as they take their prayer card and hold in their hands as they cross the platform. May when they have been ministered to according to the 16th chapter of St. Mark, they shall lay their hands upon the sick and they shall recover. As your elected servant stands here and we lay our hands upon them, Lord, may it settle forever. May they go out of here just as happy and forget about they ever had any troubles, because they're sure like Abraham was, that God is able to perform the promises that He made. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I love You. God's holy word, these signs shall follow them that believe. I'm not going to leave you sitting here thinking that just because this gift, that makes anybody any more than anybody else. You've got godly pastors here. They're here going to ask you to stand with me on the platform. They'll lay their hands on the same as I do. They had us to come here, and they're here as your, as witnesses of God. They're bearing witnesses to the truth. Now, I can't say Brother Branham laid hands, because my hands is no more than theirs or anybody else's. It's your faith, your burden that you pass on the Word of God. God, if God can keep that part of the Word and prove it to you, then you're already healed, because by His stripes you were healed. Now, I want all of us in this section over here that's got prayer cards, stand up on that side around the wall. Now, all that's in this section here that has prayer cards, stand up in the middle of the aisle and face back that way. And all that's in this section here that has prayer cards, not on this section here, I turn back the other way. Now go back this way, turn the other way, go on a straight line. All that's in this section, come out this way, face back that way. And all that's in this section up here that's got prayer cards, come out this way and face back that way. and the prayer line will be running. All that's in the balcony with prayer cards, wants to be prayed for, come right down and fall right in behind this next section as they come. While they're coming, I'll... Can we call it a new? Is it all right to give it to you? All is all right to you all? What's your verdict, God? All right. The pastors wants to know, wants the fellowship with other ministers. They want any minister in here that believes in God and believes in laying hands on the sick. If their verdict is this afternoon that it's the truth, they invite you as their colleagues to come here and stand on the platform with us while we pray. All pastors that's filled with God's Spirit, and your verdict now is that you believe that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that Mark 16 is the truth. These pastors here want to invite you up here now as their colleagues to the gospel. Come up here and stand on the platform with us as we form these prayer lines of prayer. Right here, bring up this order. All pastors in the building, no matter what denomination, they just told me to ask you, come on up here if you wish to come at this time and form this prayer line to be prayed. Pray for the sick, lay hands on the sick. How many in here that is well now? And you don't have to be prayed for, but you are believers. Raise up your hands. Will you promise me also that your prayers will be going up with we pastors while we're praying for these people? What if that was your mother standing over there? What if that was your wife? What if that was your brother or sister? Remember, it's somebody's mother. It's somebody's brother. It's somebody's sister. It's some mother's boy or girl. It's somebody. And we will do to others as we have others do to us. Now, I want you, everyone, to be reverent in prayer. And while they've got their lines formed about now to where they can come through, I want the ministers now to come here and form a double line right around the side of the platform here. Right up and down this way, form a double line so that the people passing by will set this microphone back. Such orders to be standing here leading. So, back up, double line up and down this way so the people. Now, they each one of you is standing in line. But if it's double sure, the state and the prosecutor, that her decision is made up your very task, that you believe that Mark 16 is God's word and is the truth, and you're coming to the time that has any way upon you, and from this time on, your action is going to prove what your verdict was. Raise up your hand and say, I promise about that. All of them are out of line. Now let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this people is that as soon as we have used you like a court. I feel the Lord has had a real trial. Father didn't use her like that. He got false witnesses. But you overrode the false witness. The defense witness, the Holy Spirit, comes to confirm the word before the people. You had a fair trial. And the people have made up their mind to pass the verdict this day. And they're coming through you to prove to the world that they believe your word is so. It's been misinterpreted. Some say, let me see you this, let me see you do that. It ain't according to the word. The word said they shall be covered. And we brought witnesses to the platform to prove it. That's what she said. You do things your own way. And I pray, Father, that you'll grant these blessings this afternoon to the people. As your servant, and with all your other servants, hundreds of them here, we offer our prayer for these people. Anoint these fine pastors, Lord. The skeptic ever comes by, or unbeliever, or Mr. Impatient, or any of those critics, scoffers that have been through every age, if they come by these people, may this court this afternoon rain out against us. Their testimony, Noah as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom, both in destruction, how they scoffed and made fun. But is there any difference? The believers come back to the Word. And we're ready to hold to the word this afternoon, Father. I join myself with your other pastors here, so they may have all these people. May the power of Almighty God, which we know is present now, in the word, make each one of them well. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brother Roy, you'll come to the platform. Everybody head down now. Everybody's praying and singing. If you don't pray, sing. Only believe. As you pass through, just when you pass through, just. I'm going to love you, stay with you. That's up to you. If you want to shout, shout. If you want to walk off, go on what it is. Just believe God. Walk off and say, spread in my heart. Just like if you want to, we will be baptized. That settles it. You believe it.
Amen.
You'll be a Christian as long as you believe. That's all right.
Amen.
You'll be healed as long as you believe. That's all praise.
Amen.
All
right.
So, all together, let's sing now. Oh,
minister the Word of God to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, may every one of you receive what you ask for. If you say to this mountain be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you have said. When you pray, believe that you receive what you have asked for, and it shall be given unto you. I minister in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that our verdict has been made up and been passed, and our actions prove now that we believe. And we will be healed. If I never see you again this side of the river, I'll meet you on the other side. Let the great Holy Spirit, who sent our guest, the sweet spirit, with us, and his minister to us, he'll witness to you then that I've told you the truth. And for that time,
yeah.